Last time on The Atheists, the Bible, and No Wardrobe, we read from Genesis 50, verse 1 to Genesis 50, verse 26. For the love of... Really? We spent two chapters listening to Jizzy say, Ugh, I'm dying, you idiot. But in only 26 verses, Zappa and his entire entourage take a road trip, have a family reconciliation, and we get old Joe's life and death on what amounts to a post-it note? I guess we should be thankful for small favors. Ba-dee-ba-dee-ba-dee, that's all, folks.
Hello and welcome back to The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast. Oh, well, we have finished Genesis, and I am so glad to be done with this. That's part of the book. I mean, there's 66 books in the goddamn Bible. One down. 65 to go. Yeah!
Yes. Woohoo! We're on a roll, baby.
Yes, we are so on a roll. Today we are starting Exodus, which means to exit. You know, they should have just named the book Egress. This way to the great egress. That's what Barnum and
Bailey. Isn't that a bird? Oh
no! Yeah, it's a flightless bird. That's what Barnum and Bailey did. He couldn't get people to leave his exhibits because they just kept hanging around. Because back then, people were very well educated. So he put this thing on at the exit door. Said this way to the great egress, and this way they oh I gotta see this. It's the great egress. So they would go. They'd open the door and go. They're outside.
Barnum and Bailey. Oh my God. He's right. There was a sucker born every minute.
Yes, there was. This Bible proves that concept.
Wait, nobody's ever seen Barnum and Bailey and God together at the same time.
That's right. I'm thinking that Barnum and Bailey was actually God.
Mustard in the dining room with a candlestick. Yes. Yes. We've solved it.
We've solved the puzzle. We've solved the puzzle. Well, anyway, let's get started on Exodus 1. Connie, will you lead us off?
leave off? Sure.
Let's leave off. Let's just forget the whole Bible. Just forget the whole thing. Good night, everybody.
We're the same. That's all it is. Exodus 1, verse 1. Now the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt, every man and his household came with Jacob.
Oh, wow. See, it's starting off with a sex scene already. They came into Egypt already. And then they came with Jacob. Everybody's hanging around doing a gangbang with Jacob.
Is that called a cream pie, I think? I don't know.
Oh, now we're getting to get into some names.
Yay.
Yay. 1, verse 2. Reuben, Simon, Theodore. No, it doesn't say Theodore, sorry. Simon, Levi, and Judah. Hey, at least they didn't go and, like a fucking 5-year-old.
Exactly. The hell? 1, 3. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin.
Zebulun, that's the Power Rangers, the evil guy in the Power Rangers, right?
Yeah. You hadn't been for you meddling teenagers.
1, verse 4. Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Gad. That's it. Gad. Egad, my man! What have you done?
He must have been ugly when he came out. I don't know.
Oh, my God! Egad! That's an ugly child. That will name him Egad!
I thought he was really, really big. 1, 5. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already.
Whoa, little population explosion there. And the souls came out of his loins. So souls are, all right, now we've figured out where souls come from. God's not making souls. They're coming out of people's loins. See, now there's the answer we've been looking for. Where do souls come from?
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is good. So, because every sperm has a soul in it because it came out of people's loins. Okay. Sure they did. All right. 1:6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Wait a minute. We went from all these souls came out of Egypt, and now he's already dead? What was he, fucked to death? Fuck. That's probably how he died. He died fucking, and that's why he just said, like, he's made 70 children, and then, boom, dead.
Well, yeah.
That escalated pretty quickly. We went from six verses.
Priapism, you know.
In six verses, he went from making babies to dead.
Jacob, but Joseph, all of them, even the dad, aunt, through all the kids, they're dead.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing to me that once we get to something that is actually kind of well documented, like Egypt. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden the Bible's really vague.
Yeah.
About
stuff that needs
people,
to be properly places. Documented. Well, it's like this, but the stuff that doesn't matter, we're going to document the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
He ate a meal and the meal tasted a little spicy because he had because the cook put one too many pieces of salt on there. That's why it was too spicy. How did the ark get here? Well, see, it was this big boat, and then the thing what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, 1:7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them.
Du-du-du. The children just popped out of everywhere. Apparently, now this went from 70 to, or 75, depending on which verse you want to read, to 7 million in Exodus.
Several
million. Well,
yeah.
Several million could be 7 million. You know, that's what several
true,
means.
But it could be more.
It could be more. That's right. It very well could be. Because it later comes up in Exodus 12, 37, 38, 26, Numbers 1. 45 through 46 in just a few hundred years.
All those
that's
anchor
not,
babies.
That, yeah, yeah, I was going to say, that's not possible. That's not even possible. You went from 70 people to 70 million in just 100 years? Just a few hundred years.
These men that God have chosen are pretty damn horny. Mm. And they don't mind doing it with close relatives.
Or goats. That's where Pan came from, you know.
Just saying. No, this is physically impossible to go from that many to.
I think in just a few hundred years.
Million, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the United States has only been around for about 200 years. Well, a little over 200 years. We have a few million now. So. Maybe.
Yeah, but we didn't start out with 75.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's true. We'd already been on the continent for at least 200, almost 200 years before the United States became a thing. So, and even then we were not even anywhere near the millions yet. Maybe one of our listeners will correct us on that. 1:8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So you're saying that a new king popped up and Joseph, they didn't know him? Oh, the heresy!
They didn't write down all the land agreements, I'm guessing. So.
Yeah, it was all in the previous king's head. It's like, well,
Joseph owns all this stuff, but I'm not going to worry about telling anybody because everybody will just, you know, I won't have to worry about writing it down, I should say, because everybody just kind of knows Joseph owned all this stuff.
Okay. That's why we have land contracts, you know.
1:9 And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we.
What are they trying to say there?
That they outnumber them.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, oh my gosh, we should be fearful for them about them because they're more mightier than we are. They can come over here and kick our ass. I'm wondering what they're building. This to me seems like it's a building statement. It's like we're gonna build up to something. This is important, but we're not going to explain why it's important. We're just gonna say, hey, there's all those people over there. Gotta watch them just in case. You know, it's that whole mentality. I think.
Yeah.
1:10 Come on. I can't believe it started out like this. Oh, Yvay. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass that, too many fucking commas in here, that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Get them up out of the land? Okay. All right, so there it is. It's right there. It's okay. There's a lot of them out there, but and there's only a few of us. Well, we better make a deal with them before they come after us, because we have enemies apparently. Well, yeah, you in the last fucking book you fucking starved everybody, so I'm sure you've made a few enemies. I'm just saying.
Well, shouldn't all his enemies be dead if they're starved?
Right. The few of them survived, Connie. A few of them survived because they ate their families.
You know, it's weird that these people have lived in this country for a while now. I mean, and this it's
no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. And they lived in the country for a while. You think that they would be assimilated and be more like everybody else and married in. I mean, but they're still viewed as strangers. They've got their own, evidently, I don't know. But, yeah, I hate it when there's the us and the they thing.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, I forget what I was going to say. It had something to do with the fact is, you know, they suddenly, now, we didn't have enemies. I mean, everybody had their own little personal enemies, each one of them. You know, it's me versus them type thing. But in this one, it's all of a sudden, now we've got this great enemy that's a possibility, you know. It just kind of makes me scratch my head a bit, you know.
Well, it's been a couple hundred years.
True.
And the... And Joseph's descendants just didn't go back. Interesting. Mm. They didn't know about it either.
Apparently. Maybe this is the whole family coming back after they buried Joseph. And it's like, oh my God, look at those people. They're advancing on us. It's like, in the time that they were gone, a couple hundred years had passed, apparently. It's like, oh yeah, we were fucking a lot. We're going to come back to Egypt because that's where we were supposed to have been. It's like, oh my God, I didn't realize they were supposed to come back, you know. they took the pink flamingos with them, after all. They left their goats here, but...
They were gone.
Yeah, they thought they were gone.
Oh,
11.
1:11 Therefore, they did set out therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses.
Okay, they built treasure cities. Is this like, it's a trap?
This
line is a little weird.
Well, they're just saying that they put overlords.
Yeah.
You know, overlords.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 you know.
I don't know what they mean by Pharaoh treasure cities.
But they put the police on them. They put the police on, you know, monitoring them. And
I don't see the significance of the Pharaoh treasure cities, to be honest. Maybe they're just trap cities.
Well, I guess it just, if I were to listen to that, I would think that it's a way to paint the Pharaoh as being, you know, he's hoarding all of this treasure and he's making them be slaves to build his storehouses.
Okay.
And they're now starting to abuse the Hebrew people.
Ah, this is where all the persecution comes in. Okay.
They're rolling in the SWAT teams. We got we got all of the army, our surplus and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you know, like they weren't persecuted enough. Now we got to add more persecution just to nail it down a little bit more.
Yep.
1:12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. What do you think? What the hell are they? Every time I cut off a head, two more popped right up. I cut them in half, and they just each one grew into another person. What the fuck are you saying? What the hell is this? This is stuff that nightmares and fucking horror movies are made of.
Sex relieves tension.
Well, yeah.
So the more they pressured the Hebrews, the more they went home and they didn't have anything else to do.
We'd have nothing else to do. We want to make them feel like really bad, so they're gonna go home really stressed. They're gonna fuck the shit out of their wives and pop out more kids. Okay.
That's one way to go.
Yeah.
It's like Jim Gaffigan said. Want to know what it feels like to have four kids? Well, imagine you're drowning and somebody throws you a baby.
Oh, no.
But, sorry.
Oh, no.
Wow. That is one way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. 13.
I'm sorry. I thought you just read.
Yeah, I read 12. Yeah, 13. Well,
okay. 1:13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor.
Rigor. Get on there with rigor. Is this?
It's a union thing. it just made them, you know, it made their labor even more intense.
Yeah. 1:14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar. And in brick, and in manner of service, and in all manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. You didn't. You just fucking said that in the last one. You didn't need to go into each piece segment of it. This line is completely unnecessary.
They didn't have a thesaurus back then, I guess.
Apparently.
Hard bondage.
Well, let's say we made them work really hard. Well, what did they have them do? Well, we had made them make you do shit. Well, that's kind of a fucking implied.
Mortar and brick for bondage. That's pretty tough.
That's the hardcore BDSM. I'm gonna put you in this. I'm gonna make a wall around you, and then I'm gonna put the last brick in there.
Yeah,
this is something you see from the movie like Psycho or some shit. He's like, I'm gonna put you inside the brick
put
wall.
Put your feet in cement. Put your feet and hands in cement. You know.
I used to have
the fuzzy cuffs tonight, but okay.
I actually used to have the screensavers called After Dark, and there was one where you'd see a little man falling to the bottom with his feet in cement, and he's trying to breathe, and he's like his hands are bound, like he'd be shaking and go. And sometimes you can adjust if he's like breathing, being able to hold his breath really long time or real short time, and then you just give up. This was a thing.
Disgusting.
This was a thing.
1:15. Disgusting, like the Bible, right?
Yeah.
1:15. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew wives, I'm sorry, Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiplap. And the other's name was Puah.
Puah. Puah. She was, I got to tell you, for a good time, called Puah.
It came in handy because when Shiplap was and Pua were helping a woman have a baby, she'd say Pua's name, and the woman thinks she's saying Push. Pua. Yeah.
No, you had a good time. You knew you had a good time when you go see Pua, because the last thing, all you could say is like, Pua. Oh. 116, and he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, they're shitting, okay, and if it be a son, then ye shall kill him, but if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Holy fuck. Holy fuck. I did not even know about this line. Holy shit.
Really?
Yeah, I did not know about this line. Because I talk about this sometimes with people, is like they say about God doesn't like kids or anything. This line is none of the ones I've ever read. I'm going to have to make sure they add this to that line. Holy fuck. So every time these people, they give birth to a boy, they'd kill the boy, but if it was a daughter, they'd let it live. This is kind of like what they've done over in China. The only difference is they would kill the girls, and they would spare the boys, but this makes an inequity of availability of women to men, and in this instance, they're making an inequity of women to men or men to women. So they're hurting themselves in the long run by doing something like this. This is fucking wow.
Well, okay. First of all, I think that Christians would say, "Yeah, but this wasn't God ordering this. This was the Pharaoh." But what they're missing is these people don't object to one man having multiple women.
Right.
It's just going to slow them down.
Right. Well, that's probably reason why they want to kill the boys, because they might become a they might become competition, you know, later on.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, if they keep doing this, there's not going to have any men, because this, let's face it, this book is all male centric. What male are they going to be able to pass anything down to if they've killed off all the males?
Yeah. Well, again, they're just trying to cut down their numbers, but
yeah.
Anyway. But the 17. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive.
Okay, so all right, this is where there should be no reason to fear an imaginary sky wizard. We talked about this before we got on. There should be no reason to fear a god or whatever, because there's no indication that God is saying that this is wrong to begin with. There's nothing in there that we've read so far, and we haven't read that much as far as this part of the book that says that God is saying that you shouldn't be killing the boys and just saving the girls. It's not even implied anywhere. I don't understand why this line is even here.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. 118. And the king of Egypt called for all the midwives and said unto them, wow, we actually use proper language, said, not saith. Why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? Okay, apparently.
I'm surprised he's asking them a question.
Yeah.
First of all, it's a pharaoh, not a king.
Right.
I'm so tired of them interchanging it, because as far as I understand, the pharaoh is an actual title.
Right.
But it seems to me that if you disobeyed your king or pharaoh, that there'd be very little questioning done.
Oh, sorry about that. For people who are wondering, that's my alarm for making sure I have
to
let me know that I have to work tomorrow. Sorry. By the time we get to this point, they won't have any clue anyway. It doesn't matter. No, I'm sorry. You were saying, I'm sorry. You're right about the fact is that it's not a king, it's a pharaoh. They are swapping it back and forth. And
Well, and I was just saying, I'm surprised that he's asking any questions. If he mm-hmm. found out that they were insubordinate, wouldn't he just have them put to death?
Right. Yeah.
You know, or thrown into prison.
Yeah. Why would he do that? I mean, are they trying to paint this pharaoh, which they don't even name? I mean, he's just a pharaoh, just a title. It's just a title. And I've asked this question among Christians, like, what was the pharaoh's name? None of them can ever give me the name of this alleged pharaoh. That's, well, that comes up later in the book, which particular pharaoh we're talking about. But it's just like the Egyptians, though, they kept very meticulous records. They knew which pharaohs were which, and their history does not anywhere correspond to anything that happens in Exodus at all.
No.
So this whole book right here is just a story. It has no ramifications of reality whatsoever. Where did we leave off? 19?
Yeah, 19, yes.
Okay, 120. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives. Excuse me? And
wait. You just read 18, and I was commenting. I need to read 19. I'm sorry. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come unto them.
Okay, so the women are lively. The women know how to. The Egyptian women know how to get it on, or the Hebrew women know how to get it on.
They've already given birth by the time we get there.
Yeah. Okay.
So we arrive and they've already had the babies.
Yeah.
And it's a lie.
Yeah. It is a lie. Yeah. Getting back here, 120. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. Okay. All right. Now this is basically a lie between 18 and 20 there. Now,
yeah.
First off, the question is here, is it okay to lie? See, in parts of the book, it'll say, no, it's not. They're not supposed to be lying. That's Exodus 18 through 20, because God dealt with the midwives for lying. This is another time when God finally starts popping up because, like, oh, apparently God is now on Pharaoh. The way I'm reading this, God's on Pharaoh's side because the Hebrews were supposed to kill the boys and save the girls, but they weren't doing it. And now God, quote unquote, is now angry with the midwives. But why wasn't he angry with them sooner?
No. He's not angry with the midwives. And the Hebrew women weren't ordered to kill. The Pharaoh ordered the midwives.
Okay.
To kill the male children. All right.
Okay.
And the midwives, that doesn't say that the midwives are Hebrew. It sounds like they're Egyptian.
Okay.
But that, you know, they, so when they go to the Hebrew women to help them deliver their babies, they're supposed to kill the male babies, but they were kind of afraid of the God of the Hebrews. And so they said, no, we're not going to do it. And the Pharaoh calls midwives up and said, well, what's this? The males are still alive. And they said, well, they're not like Egyptian women. They lie and say, you know, they all deliver so fast that when we get there, it's done. There's nothing to do.
Okay, all right.
So now God is rewarding I guess they are Hebrew midwives. It says here in the footnote that the midwives are Hebrew.
Okay.
But for some reason, Pharaoh had control over them, or he would tell them what to do. So their lie is rewarded by God.
So God likes the lie.
Likes the lie because it saves his favorite people's babies.
Okay. So all right, so that I'm reading this wrong. Then I was reading it wrong. Is it wrong to lie? All right, that's the question. Is it apparently in this instance, okay. Let's get this straight then. Then it's not wrong to lie. Exodus 1 through 18, that's the one there it's okay to lie, basically. And later on, it's in Joshua, James, 1 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Kings, Tobit. I didn't know I'm sure that's, I don't remember Tobit. John, and again in 1 Kings. But later on, it says, yes, it's wrong to lie. You're not. That's later on in parts, other parts of Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Proverbs, Colossians, Ephesians, James, Revelations. So God is okay with lying sometimes, apparently. So some of this, this whole question is, with God, is it okay to lie? It's a moot point. It's just a matter of perspective, I guess. Because I have to deal with Christians, you know, we deal with Christians all the time, and they will actively lie about whatever it is that their Bible says or whatever. And so I guess that they're looking at this and saying, well, God says it's okay to lie for these reasons. So the whole Ten Commandments, where it says, thou shalt not bear false witness, which we'll come up to later on. I'm sorry, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So we might as well just throw that out the fucking window altogether.
Well, I guess there's white lies.
Yeah,
right?
The white lies. We're right up against our time here, but we've only got like two passages left in this particular chapter, so we're going to push through here.
121, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses.
What?
God made them houses. He came down like Jimmy Carter and just, you know.
Jimmy Carter actually existed, damn it. So.
That's true, and he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He actually actually put the houses together for actual
Habitat
people.
Habitat for Humanity.
That's right. 122, and the Pharaoh charged all his people. Was it American or Visa? I'm just American Express, Visa.
MasterCard.
Yeah. Because if he was charged with MasterCard, he always charged a little extra because MasterCard always costs more for some reason. I don't know. saying that every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Yeah, because, you know, boys don't get pregnant, girls do, but let's save the girls. Okay, we have a population problem. But if we get rid of all the boys, the girls can't get pregnant. Well, if you get rid of all the girls, the boys can't get pregnant. That would have made more sense, but hey, can't have that. Because we want to fuck girls. We don't want to fuck the boys. Well, not until we become Catholic.
Or you could just tell them that they need to get the hell out of your country and go back to where they came from.
Right.
But no, we have to paint the Pharaoh as evil because he's killing children.
That's right.
crickets, unlike God.
Yeah. They're already trying to put the Pharaoh in the baddest light right off the bat.
Yep,
so they're building up the evil. The last Pharaoh, the previous Pharaoh, was okay, and now this Pharaoh's like, I only want to fuck girls. So make sure we only have girls, no boys. So, whatever. But we don't want you to kill anything. We don't want you to kill boys or girls, but we do want you to contact us on Twitter. And you can contact us at ABANWPodcast. And if you want to not kill anything and you want to donate some money, because donating money saves babies.
It does?
It does. I don't know how, but it does. And you can donate over at patreon.com/ABANDNW. That's patreon.com/ABANDNW. And you can follow us over on facebook.com/ABANDNW. And we have a blog over at abandnw.wordpress.com, where you can also listen to the show there, or you can download it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and, well, nowhere else at the moment. But if you want to send us any love or hate mail, you can send it to us over at tatbanw, that's tatbanw@gmail.com. Also, be sure to check out our main show, Packard Pokes At, which you can find on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and on YouTube. And while you're leaving a review of 5 stars, please leave us 5 stars, if at all possible. It pushes up in the ranks so other people can find us. And also write a review, so this way we can get some feedback of how you like the show, what you think stinks about the show, anything, you know, just would like to know. So until next time, this has been The Atheists,
The Bible,
and No Wardrobe, the podcast.